All right, take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And you'll notice the title of our message today, A Rebuke for This Pastor. Now that may sound like an odd title to you, but it is true. We know that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any edged sword, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. This past Monday, I listened to four different messages. And, you know, pastors need preaching too. So I got four messages in one day. And as I listened to those messages, sent some rebuke my way. Isn't that what the preached word is supposed to do? Doesn't the Holy Spirit take the Word of God and bring rebuke into your life if it's necessary? Does the Word of God rebuke you? Anyway, the rebuke was in the area of my pastorate and the direction of the church. For a while, I have struggled with an attempt to stay relevant. What can we do to stay relevant? What can we do to draw more people? What can we do, how to keep the late teens and the early 20s? What can we do with the songs that we sing? What can we do with the times of services? What can we do to try to make what we're doing here more acceptable to people? Yet when we look at the Word of God never mentions any of those things. The Word of God never tells us to try to stay relevant. Paul gives some directions to Timothy, and the directions are simple. He said, preach the Word. It's the Word of God that is powerful. It's not the style that the Word of God is delivered. It's not the charisma of the speaker. It's the Word of God that is quick and powerful. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ that has stood the test of time. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ that's men's souls. It is not the speaker. It is not the churches. It's not any of those things, but it is the Word of God. So today I'm going to turn to 2 Timothy, and we're going to look at Paul's directions to Timothy in preaching the Word of God. It brought some rebuke my way, and I just want to share those things with you. 2 Timothy 4:1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Now remember, Timothy was Paul's son in the faith. Wing and trained him and taught him and was trying to continue on his ministry through a young man by the name of Timothy. Paul's coming to the end of his life. He's coming to the end of his training for Timothy, and he charges him. And so the word charge, to think about that, the word charge is to give a forceful order. And I want you to notice that the forceful order that Paul gives unto Timothy is because he knows that God is going to judge the quick and the dead. Folks will tell us, now you're not supposed to judge. And that's right, I can't judge you. We can't judge others. But can we warn others that God is going to judge them one day? Yes. If we tell them this is what the Word of God says and this is how God is going to judge that action, that's not judging them, that's telling them what the Word of God says. So Paul is telling Timothy this, listen, because God is going to bring your life into judgment one day, because God is going to bring your words into judgment one day, because God is going to ask you to give an account for your ministry. I charge you. And pay attention to your ministry. You see, the writer of the book of Hebrews talks about the men of God as they will stand before God in the book of Hebrews chapter number 13 and verse 17. And here he's talking to the hearers of the word. And we could stop and dwell here a little while, but he says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. So that's the hearers' responsibility to obey those that have the rule and to submit unto them. That's a word for you guys. That's not the focus of this point I want you to bring. Here's why you should do that. For they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. The point I want you to see here is that the men of God who preach the word of God will stand one day and give an account for their ministry. So Paul is telling Timothy, listen, Timothy, I'm charging you because one day you're going to stand and give an account for your ministry. You're going to stand and give an account for the words that you preach. You're going to stand and give an account for how you led the church that God has given you. You're going to give an account. So I'm charging you to, at the end of that, he says, make full proof of your ministry. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. So we understand that judgment is coming. And we've talked about the last 2 weeks, not just the judgment for the ministers, but we talked about the judgment that you're going to face. As a believer, when you stand and your works are tried and you give an account for your life and at the judgment seat of Christ, if you want to turn there real quickly, I do want to mention this. I don't know if I mentioned it the last couple of weeks, but 2 Corinthians 5:10, it says this. It says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. So Paul is telling the church at Corinth, listen, the reason that we're so forceful and the reason we're trying to tell you about these things is because we know the terror of the Lord. We know that God judges in righteous judgment, and God is not going to just let things slide by, but he's going to open the book. And whatever the word says, he's going to hold you accountable for what the word says. Knowing who God is, we persuade you. Paul is telling Timothy, listen, you're going to give an account. Your people are going to give an account. And because of that, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. That's not the only judgment, but also the great white throne judgment bar of God that's given in the book of Revelation in chapter number 20. We also know that's out there when the dead are going to stand before God and they're going to be judged out of the books, and whosoever name was not found written in the Lamb's book of life will be going to be cast in the lake of fire. There's a judgment that's coming. Romans 4:12 says this, and we'll get more into just the exposition of 2 Timothy in just a second. Well, that's the one reference I didn't check. Anyway, we are going to give an account for our lives. So Paul telling Timothy this, knowing that you're going to give an account, pay attention to your ministry. I'm charging you, knowing that you're going to give an account, preach the word. One last reference here, Acts chapter number 20. This is the same words that Paul gave to those in Ephesus as he was getting ready to see them for the last time. In Acts chapter number 20 and verse number 28, again, Paul explaining his ministry to them, he says, verse 27, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the whole counsel of God. Now listen to what he says. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. These are the elders of the church at Ephesus. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. See, Paul tells the church at Ephesus the same thing. Take heed to your ministry. Take heed to yourself. Take heed to the flock that you have been given. Take heed to your ministry. So as a pastor, I have to take heed to my ministry. I have to take heed to how I handle this job. I have to take heed to what I stand, say behind this pulpit. I don't know if you guys really realize this or not, and I've told you this many times, but one day I'm going to stand before God, and He's going to say, Mark, on March the, this is the 19th, isn't it? Here's what you preached. Let's open the Word of God, and let's compare what you preached to the Word of God, and I want you to give an account for what you said. Men, do you realize that when you stand behind this pulpit, and you deliver what you're saying is the Word of God, you're going to give an account for that. This is not a place that you should step into without some honor and without some fear. Do you realize this, folks? The Bible says this also, that every one of you are going to give an account for every idle word that you say. You're going to give an account for every word that comes out of your mouth, so it's not like it's anything different than... But you guys are giving an account too, but we just know specifically that the men of God are going to give an account for the words that they preach. You think that we enter into this position lightly, knowing those things? So based upon that thought, Paul is telling Timothy, I'm charging you, and what am I charging you with? Well, he says, I'm charging you with this. Preach the word. Preach the word. You know, what is preaching? I want you to think about that. Is every time that somebody gets up and they run through a few scripture references, is that preaching? Is if a guy gets up and he has his own thoughts and this is what I want to tell people, and then he finds scriptures to match his thoughts and ideas, is that preaching? No, that's not preaching the word. That's finding some scriptures to match your ideas. That's not preaching the word. Turn to Nehemiah in chapter number 8 real quick. What is preaching the word? In Nehemiah in chapter number 8, the children of Israel were able to see the word of God, and Ezra called the people together, and it says this in Nehemiah 8:8. So they read in the book and the law of God distinctly and gave them the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Here's what preaching the word means. You open the word of God and you read the word of God, and then you tell them what that means. You read the word of God distinctly. You give them the sense and cause them to understand it. That's what preaching the word is. All around this country today, there are men that are gathering in assemblies and they're standing in front of a group of people and there's words coming out of their mouths, but they're not preaching the word. They're teaching on leadership and they're teaching on how to make people feel better about themselves, and they're talking about all kinds of different things. They're talking about traditions and history, but they're not preaching the Word. The Word of God is opening the Bible, going verse by verse and saying, this is what the Bible means. Preach the Word. So in that, I want you to think about some things that are not present. When Paul said, preach the word, and he's going to go on and describe some of that, what that means in just a minute. But I want you to think about what Paul did not say. Paul did not say here, Timothy, I charge you to make sure that you remain relevant in the current culture in which you live. He didn't say that. He didn't say, Timothy, I want you to make sure that no matter where you go, I want you to assimilate the assembly to the culture in which it is living. Do you realize that's what the Roman Catholics did when they went into a new territory? They went into a new territory and they went in, and whatever the culture was in that territory, they assimilated the Roman Catholicism to that culture. That's why you have things like Easter. That's why you have things like Christmas. That's why you have things like Ash Wednesday and Maundy Thursday and Fat Tuesday. They were assimilating Roman Catholicism to the culture of the day. We're not told to do that. We're not to be what the culture is. Also, I want you to notice he said, listen, he doesn't say here, make sure you're charismatic. He didn't say that. Notice he says, I want you to make sure that you're a great leader. If you're going to be a good pastor, Timothy, you got to make sure you're a great leader. Doesn't say that. Make sure that you're a great organizer, like a great CEO, that you can handle the business and you're a great organizer of people and you know how to get things done. Timothy, make sure you know how to get things done with people. Doesn't say that. Timothy, make sure that more than anything, you encourage the people. Doesn't say that. See, in what Paul said, there's lots of things that Paul didn't say. And a lot of those things that I just mentioned are people that today think are important for a pastor to be and things that a church must do. Paul didn't say any of those things. What did he say? Preach the word. Not just preaching, but preach the word. Why the word? Because it's the Word of God that is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It is in the Word of God where we find God's plan. It is God's Word. It's God's Word. It's not man's Word. It's not man's ideas. It's not the new philosophies. No, it's God's Word. It's God's Word that is God's plan. It's God's Word that has stood the test of time. It's God's Word that is eternal. Men die. Communities die. Methods change. But the Word of God is eternal. So that's why he says, preach the Word. Now, the next thing he says, how the Word is to be preached. So he says, preach the Word. Be instant in season. Out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Here's what I want you to understand. When someone truly preaches the Word of God, you ought to be able to go to the Word of God and find their points. It ought to be for you what is there, because they're telling you this is what God said. They're not going and finding a scripture here and a scripture there and saying, this is my point and here's a scripture to match it. This is what God said in His Word, and these are the points that are there. That's true preaching of the Word of God. And it's called expository preaching, by the way. There's a name for it. It's not necessarily topical, but it isn't topical. It's expository. Preach the Word. Be instant in season and out of season. Be always ready. When it's convenient to preach and when it's not convenient to preach. Be always ready to preach the Word. In other words, Timothy, make sure that you're always studied up. Make sure you're always prayed up. Because, Timothy, you never know when the opportunity to share the Word of God is going to come about. So always be ready. There's going to be some times that it's really convenient. Like Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, it's going to be really convenient for you to stand up and preach the Word. So be ready for that. But sometimes on a Saturday evening around the fire pit, when it's not even expected, there's an opportunity to preach the Word, so you need to be ready then too. When it's convenient, when it's not so convenient, you need to be ready to preach the Word. Now here's the next thing. Listen to these words. Reprove, rebuke. Reprove, rebuke. No one likes those words. But notice what Paul mentioned first. Reprove and rebuke. This is the negative side of preaching. It's what people don't like. When the pastor rebukes someone or reproves someone from the pulpit, most people don't like it. But it's the first thing that Paul mentioned to Timothy to do was to reprove and rebuke. Reproof means to convince. Correcting behavior. So the man of God is to stand in the pulpit and he's to preach the Word of God, and sometimes the Word of God is going to correct your behavior. The man of God is going to preach something that's saying, you're doing this and this is sin. You need to change that about you. That's what Paul is telling Timothy that needs to happen. People don't like it when the pastor does that. And listen, when somebody steps on my toes, I don't like it either. But of those four messages that I preached or that I listened to on Monday, I mean, I was walking with a limp Monday night because I was getting my toes stepped all over. You know, I thought about this. You know, I listened to more messages on Monday than some of you will listen to in a month. If all you listen to is what I have to say here. Just a little side note there. Why is that? I don't want to chase that rabbit, sorry. Correcting behavior or false doctrine, and here's how it's done, by careful biblical argument. By a biblical argument. Here's one place that we have to make sure that we stay true, that what we find in the Scripture. That we're not reproving based upon our own thoughts or our own ideas. But we go to the Word of God, and it outlines this. In the Word of God, it says this. It's a biblical argument. It's not. Now, our tradition has always been, that's not a biblical argument. Well, I think it means this. Well, that's not a biblical argument. Well, my mom and dad always said, that's not a biblical argument. But we've always done this. That's not a biblical argument. This is what the Bible says. We have to be careful about the traditions of men and the history of the past to make sure we're not just following traditions and history, to make sure that we are staying biblical. And it's also, understand this, reproof is a biblical argument to help a person understand the error of their action. A reproof is a biblical argument to help someone understand the error of their actions. Everything we do and everything that we say as a church and as I preach the Word of God and whoever stands behind this pulpit when they preach the Word of God, it needs to be biblical according to Scripture. Let's look at a couple of Scriptures here. Titus chapter number 1 and verse number 9. Verse number 7, it says, for a bishop must be. You get down to verse number 9, it says, they should hold fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. So he is by sound doctrine, what you find written in the word, be able to exhort and convince the gainsayers, to show people the error of their ways. Jude 14 and 15. Says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which they have ungodly sinners have spoken against them. What's the Word of God do when it comes? It executes judgment and convinces the ungodly of all their ungodly deeds that they have ungodly committed. That's the purpose of the Word of God. That's the purpose of the Scriptures. That's the purpose of reproof, is that we are biblically saying this is what the Bible teaches, so it will convict you of the error, and it will convict me of my error. Remember the title of the message? Rebuke for this pastor. See, as I listened to those messages, I heard some things and I understood some things, and I said, you know what? I've been focusing in some areas that probably I shouldn't. So I was reproved and rebuked. And that's okay, because That's what's supposed to happen. And that should be what happens to you when you hear the Word of God. There's some times that you need to be reproved, and there's some times you need to be rebuked. The only question is, how are you going to respond to that when you are? Are you going to respond to that with saying, you're right, I'm wrong here, the Word of God is true, and I need to repent of that, and I need to change? Or are you going to say, well, I don't care what that says, I'm going to do this, and that preacher's just meddling, and I don't like what he had to say today, so I didn't. How are you going to respond? That's the question. How you respond to reprove and rebuke tells a whole lot about where you are spiritually, by the way. Are you trying to justify yourself, or are you willingly submitting yourself unto the Lord and to His teachings? Rebuke, correcting a person's motives. See, reproof changes their actions. Rebuke is correcting a person's motives by convicting of sin and leading to repentance. So it's not just your actions, but your motives that are under scrutiny by the Word of God. How are we going to respond? The Word of God, as it is given, and this is what Paul told Timothy to do, preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove and rebuke. That's the negative side of preaching. You know what? That's not the most pleasant side of preaching. What do you think would be easier for a pastor to do, to stand up in front of a bunch of people and tell them, listen, this is how God's going to bless you and everything you do, and everything's going to be good and everything's going to be great and you're going to enjoy life and then you're going to die and go to heaven and everything's going to be good? What do you think is easier to preach? That message, which you know people's going to go away and saying, boy, I really enjoyed that. That made me feel good. Or someone when you stand up and you say, this is what the Word of God says and this is sin and we're doing it and it's wrong. Which do you think is the easiest for the man of God to stand up here and preach? Well, I can tell you it's the feel-good message. The one when everybody goes out and says, boy, I really preached that. I really enjoyed that. That made me feel good today. Bodhi Bacham says this, that when he preaches, that sometimes if you can't say amen, you have to say, oh me. And sometimes when the Word of God is preached, that's what happens. Oh, me. Oh, my. Exhort. Preach the Word. Be instant in season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. That means to call to one side, to encourage, to console them, to beseech them, to urge someone to pursue a course of conduct or action, always looking to the future. Exhortation is, remember this. This is an exhortation. Remember that in the future, you're going to fall under the judgment of God. So I'm beseeching you to follow the Word of God. That's exhortation. Knowing that you're going to give an account in the future, pay attention to your life. For me, take heed to the ministry of which the Lord has given me. Notice how the exhortation is to be done. Exhort with all long suffering. What is that? Exhort with all long suffering. Beseech someone. Tell them to understand. Look to the future. One day you're going to give an account, but be long suffering with them. Understand there's a process of maturity that people are going through. They may not know everything there is to know about being a follower of Christ yet, so be understanding in that and help them along the way. Encourage them as they go to keep up, even though they may not be all that they should be. Keep them going and encourage them to continue on because, listen, one day you are going to give an account. And when you give an account, you can gain rewards and not be standing in the ashes of your life. So I encourage you to be faithful, to do all those things that God has commanded us to do, but do it with long suffering. And notice with doctrine. People don't like doctrine. But think about this. What is exhortation without doctrine? What is preaching without doctrine? Is it real? Will it last? If I just exhort you based upon feeling good, if I just exhort you just based upon what I may think or following the greatest leadership skills that have been given, what is that? But if I go into the Word of God and I say, this is what God says, and I show you the teaching of the Word of God, and I say, you can build your life upon that, and you know that you'll be blessed of God in the end. See, it's not my thoughts, it's not my ideas, but it's truly the teaching of the Word of God. It's how you can know that God is pleased with you, and how you can know that you will be rewarded because you have done what God said in His Word. I have taught you doctrine, the teachings of Christ, and you're following those, and so you know that God is going to be well pleased with you. So it must be with doctrine. It's not the latest craze about what makes people good leaders. It's not the latest craze of what is acceptable to our community. It's not the latest craze of what people want to hear, but it's the truth of what God said. It's true exhortation, and it has value. So preach the Word, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now the next question is, why preach? Why should you preach like that, Timothy? Why do you need to pay attention to preach doctrine? Why do you need to pay attention to preach the Word? Because the time's going to come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. Because there's going to come a time when people don't want to hear doctrine. You shouldn't preach doctrine. If you preach doctrine, it's going to drive people away. And if you're too doctrinal, people don't want to hear doctrine today. They want to feel good when they come to church, and they want to feel encouraged when they come to church. And so don't preach doctrine. That doctrine, that's dry. And you know, you don't want to preach that. That time's upon us. They will not endure. That means will not hold up under adversity. In this case, they will not tolerate sound doctrine. MacArthur has this to say about this passage. In this age, in the dangerous seasons, many would become intolerant of the confronting, demanding preaching of God's Word. There will come a time when people will not be tolerant of the confronting and demanding preaching of God's Word. So Paul is telling Timothy this, make use of the time that is now. Now it is seed time. Utilize the time when people are listening to sound doctrine. Utilize the time when people are not turning their ears away from the truth. Utilize this time, sow the seed, sow the seed, sow the seed, because the time's coming when they will not. The question is, are we there today? There will come a time when they will turn their ears away from the truth, and they will turn to teachers which will teach them what pleases them. The people will teach them what feeds their lust. Will teach them that there's blessings apart from forgiveness. They will preach that which leaves off repentance and obedience. They will preach that which leaves them with good feelings about themselves. People will want to hear what makes them feel good about themselves. Is that you? Do you only want to hear what makes you feel good about yourselves? Or do you want to hear what the Word of God says? Because you know what the Word of God is going to say? There's none good, none not one, there's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're all unprofitable in His sight. And when you've done the best that you can do, if you're saved, you're still just an unprofitable servant. You've done that which is your duty to do. That's what the Word of God is going to tell you. There's going to come a time when they turn into fables. They're going to turn unto teaching not found in the Bible, based upon history, not upon fact. We need to guard against that. That we can't find our doctrine in a history book. That we find it solely in the Scripture. And if you can't find it in a Scripture, it's a fable. Doctrinal, biblical, everything we do, everything that we believe, everything that we practice, biblical. Bingle says this, the ear of man does not brook teachers who who are opposed to the lust of the heart. The natural man people do not want to hear teachers who tell you that your heart is full of lust. They turn away their ears from the truth and unto fables. Now, he goes back and he kind of concludes with additions to the charge. That was why you should preach. But now he's going to conclude this. Verse 5, but watch thou in all things. Watch in all things. That means be vigilant against error. Timothy, you're standing in the pulpit and you're preaching to a group of people. Be vigilant against error. Watch in all things. Do you know what? That's what you guys should be doing also. As you're sitting in the pew, you should be vigilant against error. Watch in all things. Be vigilant against sin. You should be looking at your life and saying, is there error in my life? Am I really living according to the Word of God? This is what the Word of God says. Do I see that in my life? This is what the Word of God says, and the Word of God says this is sin. Do I see that anywhere in my life? You should be considering your own, you shouldn't be looking at me. You shouldn't be looking at your neighbor. You should be looking at the Word of God and let the Word of God be a mirror unto your soul, looking for error and sin in your life. Barnes says this, the looser the times, the more diligent we should be. What's he mean by that? The more that sin is in our culture, the more that sin is acceptable in our society, the more diligent we should be about watching our own selves to make sure we're living a life that is pleasing to God. Watching all things means being faithful in all of your service to God. Watch, make sure you're faithful to God in all things. Next thing he says, endure afflictions. Why? Because afflictions are going to come as a man of God. The cause of Christ. Think about this. Jesus Christ faced afflictions. They loved him so much they crucified him. And Jesus said this, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. So afflictions are going to come. Endure those. Do the work of an evangelist. One commentator said that Timothy was probably weak in this area, so Paul was giving him some encouragement to make sure that he did the work of evangelism. But understand this, that means proclaim the glad tidings of salvation. Proclaim the glad tidings of salvation. That's what a minister is to do. I read this quote this week, it may be important to polish the jewel once found, but the chief thing is to dig it out of the mine. In other words, it may be okay to be the pastor and take the people that are already saved and polish them up and make them refined, but the best thing is to go out there and find the lost soul, the lost sheep, do the work of an evangelist. Now closing, make full proof of thy ministry. Adam Clark says this, push all thy principles to their utmost power of activity. Carry them on to all their consequences and try what God will do for thee. And by thee, neglect no part of thy sacred function. Perform faithfully all the duties of which it is composed, and do God's work in His own way and in His own spirit. Kaufman said this, this means to be faithful and loyal to all of its obligations, not to stint the service, nor abridge the message, nor to shrink from giving the full measure of fidelity and devotion. Preach the word, be faithful in the ministry, because one day you're going to give an account. Can you see how listening to these things was probably bring rebuke to me? Can you see how thinking about what Paul told Timothy and then all of the thoughts that were going through my mind about changing the way that we sing songs or changing the way that we hold the service or changing the times of the service and all these things to try to make it more acceptable to people, knowing that all those things were going through my mind, then reading this passage of Scripture here, can you see why that brought rebuke to me? I hope that you can. But I wanted us to refocus and for us to think about what's important to us as a church also and make sure that we don't go after what things are unimportant. Preach the word because it's eternal. It's going to last forever. It's the only real thing people can believe in. Programs, activities, all that stuff, that means nothing. Preach the word. It should be evident that a minister should be concerned with his ministry. It is also should be evident what is important and what is of little concern. And you should know why a minister is concerned about his people and he's concerned about their faithfulness because he's going to give an account. You're going to give an account. When you stand before the Lord, maybe today, what kind of an account are you going to give? I pray that you can say, I know I'm going to give a good account because I'm living my life according to the Word of God. And if it's not biblical, I don't do it. And when this church stands before the Lord together, and we give an account for our ministry together, I pray that it's a good account because we've said, Lord, we've done only those things that you have described in your word. We've not followed after fads. We've not followed after fables. We've not followed after traditions. But we've only done that which is found in your word. And so when we give an account, we're going to hear, well done. You did the work that I've called you to do. A rebuke for this minister, for this pastor. Why should we be so concerned? Because Christ gave his life for us. He gave his all. He died for our sins so that we might live. Remember that. He gave his life so that you might live. That's why you should be concerned about your life and about your ministry. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the word. We thank you for a rebuke. But we also thank you, Lord, that we know that this is your word and it's eternal. It will not return void. And that if we build our lives upon your word, the future is bright for us because we're not following fads or fashions, but we're simply believing the truth. And you're well pleased with the truth. So I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to obey those that have the rule over us. I pray, Lord, that we will submit unto them. And Lord, that we will be found faithful to you and your word in the end. Because, Lord, you are truly worthy. Thank you, Lord, that you didn't leave us out here on our own to find our own way. But you gave us direction. Help us to follow it. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and turn.